Here's another listener essay.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Listener essay.
Listener essay. Listener essay.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and today's listener essay comes from Jim and is titled, Is It I? Now, if you want to vote for this essay and give some private feedback to the author, visit our website. I'll give you the form letter pre-recorded detail message at the end of the episode today. But for now, take it away, Jimbo.
The following is an excerpt from an undelivered letter I wrote to my wife in 2013. In it, I was trying to articulate why I was so stressed out and down at the time. Quote, I think the real root of the problem is that I feel like my testimony is slipping away. Am I depressed because I don't have a testimony? Or do I not have a testimony because I'm depressed? I don't know. I've had a strong testimony since high school. It's incredibly unnerving to feel your entire foundation crumble beneath you. You know when Alma says, if you have experienced a change of heart and felt the singing song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? My answer is no, I can't feel it. I try to feel it, but it's gone. And even if I did feel it, I would doubt the feeling because what is that feeling? Is it the Holy Ghost or some biological response that happens to show up sometimes? Sometimes it shows up when I read the scriptures or go to church, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. Sometimes I feel like it's telling me to do something and I do it and it works out wonderfully. And sometimes it tells me to do something and it's a miserable failure and an absolute contradiction to the feeling. I doubt so much. It's hard for me to have any faith, and therefore hard for me to care about anything or have any motivation. I've been trying to get up and bear my testimony for months, but I can't bring myself to go up there and say, I know, when I have no idea. I really, really hope it's true, because that would mean that life has meaning and that I haven't wasted years sacrificing, but I truly can't tell, and it rocks me. End quote. I was suffering with depression and going through a deep existential crisis induced by my loss of testimony in the church. This stage of faith is probably familiar to many infants listeners out there. It was rough, but what made it worse was that I blamed myself for my loss of faith. The idea that I was broken and inadequate had been drilled into my head by the church for nearly 30 years. So naturally, I figured that my lack of faith, lack of discernment, and weak testimony must be because there was something wrong with me. Maybe I wasn't worthy enough. If only I hadn't had that impure thought, I could have received the witness I was looking for. Maybe I wasn't diligent enough in my calling. If I only magnified my calling and went the extra mile to prove myself, maybe then God would smile upon me and bless me with the knowledge I sought. Maybe my motivations weren't pure. God knew I wasn't ready to cast off all my sins, and therefore wouldn't grant me the answers I was seeking because I didn't quite have real intent. Maybe my depression was interfering with the Spirit, and I was numb to the revelation God wanted to give me. For some reason, I thought it was perfectly reasonable that an all-powerful and loving God wouldn't or couldn't speak to a depressed person in a way that they can receive and recognize. But I digress. Thinking that you are broken is damaging, but it is exactly the way the church teaches you to think. That line of thinking makes you dependent on the church. You are broken, and only through the church can you access the atonement and be mended. King Benjamin's infamous sermon tells us that we are worse than the dust of the earth. General Conference talks constantly explore the theme of being broken. After all, we are supposed to offer a broken heart and a contrite spirit to be granted forgiveness. As a young missionary, I remember a zone conference in which my mission president recounted the story of the Last Supper. During the Last Supper, Jesus tells his disciples that one of them will betray him. The disciples were immediately introspective and with sorrow asked, Lord, is it I? President Uchtdorf used the same story as a thesis for his conference talk in October 2014. While there is value in introspection, humility, and self-awareness, this cycle of constant self-blame can be pernicious. When you're searching for answers during a faith crisis, and those answers don't come, You're trained to think that you are the problem. The church trains us not to consider the possibility that the church is wrong or isn't true. So the only possibility is that we are broken. This is illustrated by the all-too-familiar TBM response to people that leave the church. He must be addicted to pornography, or she's just lazy, or they just want to sin. They've been trained that there are no good reasons to leave the church. They can't even fathom the possibility that the church might not be true. One way the church trains its members is through constant victim blaming. Examples are ubiquitous. Here's one from Uchtdorf's talk that I referenced earlier.
We must approach our eternal Father with broken hearts and teachable minds. We must be willing to learn and to change. And oh, how much we gain by committing to live the life of our Heavenly Father intends for us. Those who do not wish to learn and change probably will not. And most likely will begin to wonder whether the church has anything to offer for them. But those who want to improve and progress, those who learn of the Savior and desire to be like Him, those who humble themselves as a little child and seek to bring their thoughts and actions into harmony with our Father in heaven, they will experience the miracles of the Savior's atonement. They will surely feel God's resplendent spirit. They will taste the indescribable joy that is the fruit of a meek and humble heart. They will be blessed with a desire and discipline to become true disciples of Jesus Christ.
The implication is, if you don't change, if you don't feel God's resplendent spirit, if you don't taste indescribable joy, it's because you do not want to change. It's because you are not meek or humble of heart. In other words, it's your own damn fault. Grant Von Harrison once wrote an instruction manual for getting blessings called Drawing on the Powers of Heaven. I read it on my mission after my mission president gave us all copies and assigned us to study it. Without going into too much detail, the basic gist is that if you have a righteous desire, like gaining a testimony, baptizing someone, or finding a wife, write it down specifically. Tell God about it, including what sacrifice you are willing to make to achieve your desire. And then constantly pray, work, pray, work. Be righteous, pray, work, and pray some more without disqualifying yourself through any sin. Then, magically, the Lord will give you the blessing that you seek. This is the prosperity gospel and is a foundational belief for most Mormons. Unfortunately, it teaches you that if you don't receive the blessing you desire, it's your fault. I bought into Harrison's ridiculous message and believed that my lack of testimony was my fault. There must be something that I didn't understand or couldn't understand because I wasn't faithful or good enough. I muddled through my faith crisis. It was painful, depressing, scary, and stressful. For a few years, I compartmentalized information that could damage my fragile testimony and just went through the motions. I was afraid to really open the box because of what I might find and what it would mean. Eventually, the cognitive dissonance became too much to bear, and I opened the box. I studied and studied. It was as I suspected. The church is not true. It is man-made, an obvious 19th century con. The silver lining is that, all along, the problem wasn't with me. I wasn't broken. It wasn't my fault. When I see my Mormon friends and family members struggle with their testimonies, I want to shout at them, they're not broken. It's not their fault they can't resolve the incongruities. The problem is that the church and their doctrine is inconsistent, uninspired, illogical, and in some cases even cruel and stupid. I hope to get the courage to consider the possibility that the church is not true and open the box. If they do, I'll be there to help them with the difficult but exciting transition.
Thank you for the listener essay. We desire all to receive it. And if you want to vote for it, go to the website and vote for it and give the author some feedback. And then tune in again tomorrow because we'll be doing this all over again with a brand new listener essay. I'll have all the long-winded fancy details as an Easter egg so you can skip over it if you want or listen to it if you want. It'll be there after Zoe says, thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.
Because that's how we roll.
Hi.
This is Hillary.
Matthew. Ryan.
Carol.
Keith.
Ashley. And I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear,
consider supporting us on Patreon for as little as $1 per episode, capped at whatever total amount you want to cap that at. I mean, where do you think the money is coming from to award prizes to the listener essays, huh? Pretty cool stuff we're doing on Infants on Thrones. Also,
give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.
Well, that was a great listener essay, wasn't it? Ready to go vote for it? Now, if you've heard this before and you're an old pro at voting for these essays, you can just skip over this part. Now, here's how this is going to work. As it stands right now, I have 14 listener essays, and that means that for the next 2 weeks, starting today, February 7th, ending on February 20th, you will be hearing one listener essay per day, at least for those of you who listen in real time once the episode is released. And FYI, some of these essays were submitted to us without a title, so I gave them a title myself. So if you think the title of the essay is stupid, well, that's probably my fault, because damn if I don't love me some stupid. But here's the really exciting part. One of these 14 essays will win $218, because it's 2018 now, and we like to be cute and stupid about things, but we're not able to award a $2,000 prize just yet, okay? Another essay will win $109, half of the 218, and I think I actually got the math right this time, I think. And a third will win $50, and you listeners get to choose who these winners will be, and you'll also be able to give private feedback to each author. So here's how that's going to happen. After you listen to the essay today, go to our website, infantsonthrones.com. Find the post for the essay that you listen to, and be sure that you have the author's name and the essay title right so that your feedback goes to the right place. Click on the survey that's associated with that essay, and it's going to be there on the post. Fill out the survey and submit it, and then sit back and breathe in and breathe out. And feel life's energy flow through you and bask in the warm feeling of knowing that you made a difference in the life of someone brave enough to submit a listener essay to Infants on Thrones. Now, when you fill out these surveys, you're going to be asked two things primarily. One, to rate the essay on a scale of 1 to 5. And then you'll also have the opportunity to write in some of your thoughts, some of your feedback for the author. It'll only take a few minutes, and then boom, you're done. Now, you can do this for every single essay, every single one of these 14 essays. You can vote or you can put your feedback for each one of these 14 essays, but you can only vote once for each essay. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, voting will be open through the entire month of February, even though the essays will stop on the 20th. You'll still be able to vote for the last week or so of February. On March 1st, voting will be closed, and then the winners will be announced on Saturday, March 3rd. Now, some of you may be wondering, is there a deadline for submitting essays? Well, no, not really. Now, this contest with these 14 essays, that will end with the final essay being released on February 20th. But my hope is that as you listen to these essays, you will feel inspired to make one yourself and share your unique view of the world with the rest of our listening audience. So, if you want to do that, submit it, and as soon as we get another 10 to 15 essays, we'll start another contest. How's that? Make sense? Pretty good deal, huh? And isn't that really how the world's supposed to work anyway? I mean, think of it like this. It could be kind of like if you were kneeling at an altar and you looked up and you saw this big mirror on the wall in front of you. And in that mirror, you could see not only your own reflection looking back at you, but you could see the reflection of the mirror on the wall behind you and the back of your head. And then in that reflection, you also saw another reflection of yourself, both front and back, stretching outward and onward, upward throughout all generations of time and throughout all eternity, like Rey in the new Star Wars movie, if Rey had like been at an altar and married herself. Can you marry yourself? What is that, Master Wedshin? I don't know, in some kind of a weird Mormon Jedi temple ceremony thing that distinguishes one type of nerd from other types of nerds. That's kind of what this essay contest is like. No, I don't know. Will it end? Can you submit essays forever and ever and be like Ray? I don't know. See, what did I tell you? I love me some stupid. So this is the deal. Infant Listener Essay Contest. Please participate and make this thing super special, because special isn't just a euphemism anymore, or something remarkable like that.
Hi, this is Hillary.
Matthew, Ryan,
Carol,
Keith,
Ashley.
And I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear,
consider supporting us on Patreon for as little as $1 per episode, capped at whatever total amount you want to cap that at. I mean, where do you think the money is coming from to award prizes to the listener essays, huh? Pretty cool stuff we're doing on Infants on Thrones. Also,
give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.